Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
What up? Hey, that was the old intro. I'm going to start putting the old intro. I shouldn't say old intro. It's the Today We Learned intro. But since I've been posting the audio from the mildly interesting episodes, I've been using that. But I miss hearing the Today We Learned intro. So I'm going to start putting Today We Learned intros before I talk, and then I'm going to introduce the episode, and then we'll just play it like it's normal. Also, I've noticed a lot more downloads for my mini episodes, the two mini episodes I did while I was just reading facts and learning things for like 15 minutes on the internet. So if you guys want more of those, if you'd like more of those, give me a tweet or slide into my DMs on Instagram, because I want to hear from everybody. I want to hear your guys' feedback. Or if you don't want me to do these mildly interesting audios anymore and you just want me to do new original Today We Learned, let me know. But this is a fun episode. I sat down with a mutual friend of mine, Taryn Killam. He plays D&D with Kyle Newman, as you all know. He's been on the podcast a lot. Kyle is one of my best friends. And Taryn was awesome. Taryn's got a new show on ABC called Single Parents. It airs on Wednesdays. And he was also in this past weekend's Night School with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. It took number one. Go see that movie. It's awesome. And watch Single Parents. It's great. And also, at the end of this episode, there's a fun fun little thing. At the end, Taryn sings his song from Hamilton, because Taryn was on the Broadway play Hamilton for 6 months, and we got him to sing his song from that. And I might cut that and put that as its own singular track on this iTunes feed and see if I get in trouble, even though it's kind of like a cover song. So it shouldn't be a thing, but yeah. So you can listen to it here, or if you want to watch the full thing, go to prohibited.com and you can watch it, because he sings it and he really hams it up. Yeah, so you can listen to it here or watch the full episode on prohibited.com, prohibtd.com, and support the show, because that's how we stay on the air. So yeah, without further ado, Today We Learned with Taryn Killam from the mildly interesting episode with Taryn Killam on prohibited.com. And yeah, everybody, thanks for checking this out, and let me know if you want me to do more mini episodes. Cool. All right, here we go. I love you all. Here we go. Once again, here we go. With Taryn Killam. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Mildly Interesting. My name is Razzle, as you know. This is going to be a fun episode. I'm super excited. Share mutual acquaintances and a lot of things we like in common. You've seen him everywhere, but most importantly, he's got a new movie coming out this weekend called Night School, and he's got a show debuting on ABC tomorrow called Single Parents. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you plan for them to both be in schools? Because they're both kind of in schools.
Just like I drew it up.
You're a teacher and you're a principal.
I'm branding into public education. Loud and proud.
Ladies and gentlemen, Taryn Killam.
There we go. Hi, guys.
We're going to insert some applause.
That's okay. Nope. Feels totally fake, and I don't appreciate it.
It's canned laugh tracks, you know? We gotta pay for this rubbish somehow.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We share a mutual friend, Kyle Newman.
Yes, we do. I just learned this last week playing Dungeons & Dragons with him.
You do play Dungeons & Dragons. We'll get into that in a little
bit. Okay, great.
I like to start off each episode on occasion with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently.
Okay.
No rules, anything goes.
Great. I was just at the Los Angeles Natural History Museum this past weekend. They have a great exhibit called Becoming Los Angeles about the history of L.A. And sort of the end of the 19th century into the 20th century and how the population exploded at that time thanks to the railways and also the entertainment industry. There was this beautiful story, and I'm going to forget the woman's first name. Her last name was Avila, and she fought the Santa Fe Railroad because they just placed the track through the backyard of her mother's property.
Okay.
And they tried to fight it, and they were like, nope, sorry, the track's going here. So this 20-year-old girl, Medina or something like that, Avila, in protest, strung their laundry lines across the track saying, this is not fair, this is illegal, and you're taking away our property that we rightfully own. And she was put in jail for obstruction of a moving vehicle in the women's penitentiary at San Quentin at 20 years old, spent 2 years there and passed away in jail. And it was heartbreaking and horrific and tragic. And it just reminds you of how awful and horrible human beings have been to each other.
Isn't that wild?
It was really fascinating to me because I'm a Los Angeles native and I take pride in being from LA and I love living in LA.
You're from Culver City.
Culver City specifically. Born in Culver City. My parents lived in Manhattan Beach at the time. All LA County though.
Yeah.
And then, worse than that, I moved to Big Bear for 9 years.
Yeah, I saw that here. Culver City. Yeah. I used to live in Culver City. I love Culver City. How long did you
We're
live
in Culver City? Yeah, I never lived there in my youth.
Okay.
I have now.
You were just born there. They picked a hospital.
I was born at a birthing center.
Okay.
I believe Dr. Misha was his name, and then yeah, my parents lived on Highland in Manhattan Beach, and then we moved to a different apartment. Then we ended up on Warfield in Redondo Beach. Then we moved to Moon Ridge in Big Bear for about a few months in a no-bedroom cabin for a family of seven. And then we moved to my childhood home in Big Bear City and lived there for 9 years.
A family of seven.
I have two older sisters, a younger sister, a younger brother, and a mom and a dad.
Your younger sister, I can't remember her name, but my roommate, Grant, went to school with her apparently up in San Francisco area, and they played
Santa
soccer
Cruz.
Or whatever.
Yeah, oh, great, great, great. Yeah. Banana Slugs. Yeah, my sister Danielle, Danny.
Seven. Is your family Catholic?
Nope.
No, they just like having kids.
Non-denominational. Yeah. They just love love. They love life. You know what I mean?
Are you close to all your siblings?
I am. Yep.
So you're the middle child.
I am.
How do you like that? Because I'm a middle child.
Good. Good. Yeah. I got both because
it's a safe space. We can throw our parents under the bus.
No. Yeah. I don't feel like I necessarily had the standard middle child experience. My next oldest sibling is 8 years older than me, and then and then 10 years older. Sisters, Rachel and then Aaron.
So you're kind of like the older one then.
I got both. I'm the middle, but then was the oldest for a long time in the household. So I did good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Bear. Here. I was looking at Big Bear. Big Bear. Apparently, the actual average population is like 6,000. But it
no.
Well, the vacation
30,000
now?
30 to 35, yeah. Unless it's dropped dramatically.
Unless I mean, I could have read it wrong, but it exponentially grows. It's like hundreds of thousands with the vacationers and all
right,
that.
Right.
But Big Bear Valley, it grew rapidly, primarily due to the gold rush.
Yeah, Holcomb
and
Valley.
Its closest city, 25 miles, was San Bernardino at the time, and mm-hmm. it would take like 25. It was a 25-mile trip. It would take like 2 days on horse and buggy. Yeah. But it was one of the first, it was, according to here, the world's second bus line was like majorly from San Bernardino to Big Bear.
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
I don't remember studying that.
Yeah, Holcomb Valley, gold miner, we'll call him Bobby Holcomb.
Yeah, I know Bobby.
Good old Bobby. He was the first one to kind of discover the valley. Holcomb is just north of Big Bear Valley, and Big Bear Valley, Big Bear Lake is man-made. They put up a dam and it became a lake. And it's the reason my family moved there is because we were not well off and could afford to buy a bigger property, have land. Yeah. My dad was a contractor, so he knew we could buy something small and add on. But a really great public school system. Very, you know, it's safe and it's insular, but it's also like not culturally varied. It's pretty cut off, and I loved it because I was there from 6 to 16-ish, and it's seasonal, it's safe, it's beautiful, it's full of outdoor activities year-round.
Did you ride your bikes to school or walk to school?
I would walk to school once for Big Bear High School. We were close enough that I could walk there. But you're outside. It's you open your door and the dogs run off into the neighborhood and come home when it's dinner time kind of thing.
And then at what point did you move from Big Bear back to L.A.? Or did you, because I didn't know this.
Yeah.
You've been at it a while.
Yeah, I've been in the game
in the game for a long time.
Yeah.
And you have a career before SNL.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I imagine when that whole thing, we won't get into that story.
Yeah.
But when you stopped doing SNL, it was like, probably like nothing because you've already been in the game for so long doing a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. You knew that hopefully there'd be a new thing after.
So did you leave Big Bear to get into the game, or was that just like how was that?
Kind of. My mother had me audition for the Los Angeles County High School of the Arts, LOXA.
Okay.
And I did that the summer after my freshman year of high school. Auditioned, was excited because it was like, I'm on a college campus. It's on the campus of Cal State LA. There were like cute girls at the audition, yeah. And I was 14 and raging with hormones. And then I went to San Luis Obispo's soccer camp.
Okay.
Came back. Big Bear was starting a club team. And I was decent at that time at soccer and was very excited to join it. And then this package comes in the mail. It's from LOXA and says, congratulations, you've been accepted. And at that time, Big Bear was a year-round school, meaning they didn't have a big summer break. They had like a very short summer break and then a longer winter break. And
which is probably a smarter way to do it.
For there, especially, because yeah. You know, there's a lot of snow sports and then a lot of summer sports.
Dude, the coldest? So I'm from Michigan, so I get cold, right?
You know cold.
I moved out of Michigan 13 years ago to Florida.
Yes.
And then I went to school in Florida, the Michigan of the South. And then I ended up going to Chicago after that for 9 months.
Yeah.
And I started comedy in Florida. And before I moved out here, Chicago had like a comedy scene. So I'm like, I'll get my feet wet in a bigger city.
A great, great comedy scene.
And the winter was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So then I moved here as faster than anticipated. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, this is LA's awesome, warm, all that jazz. And then one Christmas, I went back to Michigan, and it was like it was 30 degrees, right?
Yeah.
And my buddy Joel for New Year's Eve rented a big old house in Big Bear.
Great.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go back. I'm from Michigan, driving around in Michigan, snow and everything. I've never needed to put snow chains on my car.
Yeah.
Until I've needed to drive up to go to Big Bear.
Yeah.
They made me put snow chains on my car. I'm like, guys, I get it. I know how to drive in the snow. Yeah, I don't need these.
Right.
But the cops were like, you need to wait.
And four-wheel drive, yeah, yeah.
I get up to Big Bear. It was -5 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? It's well, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
elevation,
it's the coldest.
7,000 feet.
It was the coldest I've experienced in ages.
Yeah, yeah,
I can't
yeah.
imagine being in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And having to go to school.
Many memories of bibbing up, putting on the bibs, and putting on the Quicksilver snow jacket and the gloves.
Would it get that cold when you have to go to school? Like, were you sitting in grade school in 5-degree weather?
Very rarely. Very rarely. Because I'll say, like, even getting snow up there was not a consistent thing year to year. I have fond memories of walking to the bus stop and like puddles freezing over, and you can kind of break, creme brulee, like, break the little top.
Yeah, Jehovah's spelt with an I.
Yeah, exactly. The covenant man kneels. It would get cold in our little gambrel house on San Anselmo when we first moved in there. We now had 2 bedrooms as opposed to no bedrooms, which was great, but still we were cramped. And there was 1 wall heater at the bottom of the stairs. So when you woke up, you ran to the bottom and you were standing in front of it and you were warming your hands while mom made breakfast and stuff. And yeah, it got cold. But I miss the seasons. I'll take real cold where it's supposed to be as opposed to wet, sloppy, dirty, industrial cold in the middle of Manhattan, where it just none of it feels appropriate. It's inappropriate cold.
In it?
Yes.
And you lose the sun at 1 p.m. because of the buildings.
It's never even really there. It's never even really there. And it's all muddy and dirty and trashy. And it's
like, I love New York in the fall and in the springtime, but that's even a visit. Like, I need the seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And
as
much as LA doesn't have seasons, we at least have ant season and fire season.
Right, exactly. Thank God.
it's like, at least we have like 2 hours.
Sure.
2 hours you can go skiing in Big Bear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can go to Arrowhead on the lake, whatever. You can go into
go
the desert.
Death Valley,
you got the beach.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I love
and
it.
It's,
except
I mean,
for what the Santa Fe Railroad did to the native people when they came,
I wonder when, like, eminent domain, is that the phrase, like, eminent domain? Like, when the government wants to take over a building?
It's either that
they can,
or
and
it's
you
like
don't
a
sell.
Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe sci-fi movie from the 90s.
Or it should be. Eminent domain. That should be that.
That's 100%.
It's like the movie Runaway. Have you ever seen Runaway? Runaways?
No.
Yeah.
Isn't that about the band that did Cherry Bomb?
No,
okay.
No, that's The Runaways. Okay. This is a movie called, I think it might be just called Runaway.
Okay.
But it came out in 1985.
Yeah.
Starring Tom Selleck.
Great.
Okay.
Sold. Say no more.
Say no more. Great. Gene Simmons is the bad guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley's in it. I'm just gonna rattle off what I've read on Amazon Prime before I click play.
Okay, great.
He's a cop who's chases down runaway robots that are dangerous and endangering people.
Sure.
These robots are like boxes, Commodore 64 1980s boxes with one clause that hold guns.
Great.
It's like eminent domain should be.
Prescient.
You got to watch it.
I can't wait.
Dude, it's literally...
It sounds like a
chore. It's so good. It's one of those it's one of those 80s movies that you never knew about. And you're like,
how did this not work?
And what's sad is it literally is like 5 years after Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it's like, how?
Sure. That is amazing when you see... Yeah.
It's
when you
understand, wild.
Yeah. How people just do not comprehend technology.
It's wild. Like even, you know, I was watching Predator last night.
Yeah.
And the Predator costume, you know, that came out in 87. I'm like, this is really cool for 87. But it's also 10 years after Star Wars A New Hope, and it's still like something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like the costumes.
Are you saying that Predator improved upon Star Wars or was not necessarily as advanced as it should have been for a decade later?
Not as advanced, not I would advanced. Say, as it should
Interesting.
Have been.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know that I'll agree with. You know where I'll agree with it? From the waist down.
Sure.
When he's running through the trees and those rubber flipper feet are bouncing from branch to branch. But I think the face, I think this
the mandibles.
Yes.
Sure. But when he's first cut and he's soldering his
and he can't
thigh,
hold the
and
tool.
And he can't hold the tool.
Yeah.
And his fingers are like.
Or
like,
is that just part of
the
their,
old bank tellers with the too long of nails?
Is that just how they hold things Could on be. Predatoria?
Well, if that's how they hold things, I don't know how they construct
how do they
spaceships.
Survive? Well, from this.
Who's constructing spaceships?
These are the things doing
You're
all
a nerd. How do aliens without actual opposing thumbs construct spaceships?
Well, they were never on the spaceships.
Who makes the spaceships for them to travel?
The
same like Independence
the
Day.
Marines
Independence
or
Day.
the researchers. They're
a different race of
they're
aliens.
They're symbiotes, right? They find a host.
Okay.
The aliens themselves never were responsible for any technology, unless you're talking Prometheus, and then even then it was the Prometheans.
Fair enough.
That they created the technology, and then they crossbred this race to create the ultimate killing organism that then only traveled through interaction with other, more civilized, superior. Okay. Races, but the primal
they're
feasting,
more of like the parasite
horde mentality. They're the
they're
parasite.
Not building
spaceships. Yeah.
All right.
Did I answer your question?
I think you did.
Thank you so much, you guys. It's been a
this
pleasure.
This is it. It's alien talk here. Sex talk with Dr. Ruth. We're going to talk about aliens today. She's been at it a long time too.
Dr. Ruth.
I was looking on. I recently got back into painting, and I will. Well, to explain myself here.
No. I get it.
To explain.
Whoa. Dr. Ruth, talking sex for 60 years?
Well,
I gotta get back to painting.
I will do like mixed media. So I'll do I'll do the backgrounds
in feces.
Of like I shit in my hand like an ape and I just cover it off. I do cave paintings on canvas.
That's inspired by the Marquis de Sade.
And I will I painted Beetlejuice and I found a bunch of old occult. Cut out like
Amazing.
Newspaper clippings.
Oh, very
so
cool.
Then I'll print those out and then I'll paint Beetlejuice on it.
Awesome.
And I want to do Betty White. So I was looking at like 1980s TV guides.
Yeah.
So I was going through and I was going to cut some of those out.
Yeah.
And I was looking through online and I'm reading some of these and like Dr. Ruth is there on like a Saturday night and this is like 1983 and I'm like, holy cow.
She's a full staple and she's also like in that category of just like sitting pretty. Like nobody's going to take away her monopoly. She's not front and center. She'll never be Beyonce. She doesn't need to be.
No.
She's like, she serves a very specific purpose. She cashes the check.
Yeah.
And she probably lives in some beautiful hillside estate.
Easy.
Speaking of Golden Girls-ish, Kimmery Lewis, my co-star on Single Parents, my new TV show, which debuts tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Wednesday,
we didn't shoot
September 26th.
2 weeks ago. Wednesday, September 26th, 9:30 after Modern Family, if we're going that specific. Yeah. Kimmery Lewis just showed me.
What is that show?
Single Parents.
Modern Family?
Modern Family, you've never heard of it? It's about, a family. It's sort of more modern than that. No, we're excited to, be after them. We're before A Million Little Things. Pieces, Million Little Things.
Yeah.
Million Little Pieces was the book that Oprah loved and hated. Million Little Things is an ABC show that will break your heart.
I love it. Great. I love having my heart broken. That's why I'm on dating apps.
Yeah. What do you do? What are you?
Raya. Tinder? I'm on Raya.
Is it Raya or Raya?
I don't know.
Okay.
But they let me on it.
You're in the industry, bro?
Yeah.
Hey, are you verified?
I'm not, sadly.
Oh, really? But you're still on Raya.
Okay. I've been trying to get verified for a long time. I even got a book I give you. I'll give you later on. But
Can't wait.
It's like, how do you get verified?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You're not interesting. Because my understanding of Raya is you must be verified or you must be endorsed by other entertainment industry people.
You should
be approved.
I'll tell you why I'm on it.
You hacked it.
My buddy's friend created it.
Okay, great.
And I was one of the first people on it. And I still have yet to find love. But I was one of the first people on this one.
It's like Schumer got scooped up too fast.
I clicked the heart on her just
to
see.
Yeah, nothing.
I matched with Courtney Love not too long ago.
Like, okay, great.
Well, the first time, no. I'm like, yeah, no. And then, and then it came back again. I'm like, oh, this would be a good story.
Oh,
so then
man.
I clicked yes. So the next thing I know, I matched. I'm like, eh. And I just kept it.
Okay, too dangerous.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
I don't have any aliens.
Golden
Girls. So Kimmeri Lewis showed me recently the clip of Bea Arthur's Goodbye, the final episode.
Yeah.
I love Golden Girls, but I would not say I'm a diehard fan. Yeah. Do you know that clip that I'm talking about?
I know the clip. She keeps saying goodbye.
Yeah, and she keeps coming back. But it's her, Kimmeri's showing it, and she's literally tearing up because it means so much to her. And she's like, you will be my sisters always. And then she kind of spikes the camera as she goes out. And Kimmeri's like, when she does this, she's talking to us.
Yeah.
Her eyes are for us.
She looks at it for just a moment.
I thought that was amazing.
That was so good. Did you ever see I don't know if you've seen it a few weeks ago when Burt Reynolds died. His clip on Golden Girls was resurfacing.
It was so good. Oh, great.
He walks in the door, and all the Golden Girls are like freaking
screaming
out.
Screaming and loving it.
And Sophia, the youngest one who played the oldest one, she's like, oh, Bert. And he's like, oh, how about dinner? And he's like, how about a small dinner? And she's like, if you're buying, how about a large dinner?
Great.
Or whatever.
Then the other
three are just like smitten. And Bert leans in and he's like, which one's the slut? And they all just raise their hand.
Oh my God.
And then they walk out.
Different time.
It's so funny. here's something I learned recently. You were on Kimmel really lobbying hard to be the biggest Rams fan.
Correct, yes.
And
now here's what I'll say. I can't dedicate myself full time in the way that I know true fans can.
Yeah.
And I would never claim to be the number one fan.
Okay.
But I think I can be the most notable fan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Most notable fan.
Yes.
That's like such a presidential speech.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Vote for me for notable fan 2020.
Notable. I can't be the biggest fan.
Hey, but you will know my name.
The notable fan.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the Rams, and I'm as not a huge sports fan.
Yeah,
I played football.
Me neither.
I played football in high school. I stood on the sidelines while I watched football.
Yes.
No, we can do that. Let's
do
that.
It's like
Andrew W.K. when he was on some news show and he just looks at the camera.
Yeah, I do love the Rams and I do love football. But you watch from the... My mom wouldn't let me play, so it was a similar thing. Yeah, yeah.
My mom let me play, but the coach wouldn't.
Okay, got it. Get out there, honey.
So, where is it? Oh, yeah, the Rams. So the Rams were already in Los Angeles.
Correct.
They were somewhere else first.
Yeah, where was that?
They were Chicago or something like that.
Okay.
But then they moved to. I have it pulled up here. The Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, they were originally the Chicago Cardinals or whatever.
Okay.
The Rams. Cleveland. They were in
Cardinals.
A city that began with a Z.
Great.
Regardless,
yes.
They wanted to move here.
Yeah.
And in order to play at the Coliseum.
Yes.
The Coliseum was like, hey dudes, you want to play here? You gotta hire a black dude.
Oh wow.
So they were like, okay. And they hired Kenny Washington.
Wow.
And he was the first African American post-World War to sign a contract with the NFL.
Yeah. That's right. They honored him last season, I remember that.
Yeah. And he was the first African NFL player.
How about that?
And like the rest of the teams were like, oh, and then 2 years later, they had somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really cool.
And that's the most there ever was.
But it's like, you hear of like Jackie Robinson and you
like,
hear
what, and what is like, that date? Like
that date was, he signed on 1946.
Humans suck.
Isn't that wild?
Humans suck, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
1946.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
He was the first one, and that was only as like a bribe.
That's why I follow him. They're the civil rights team. Yeah, crazy.
Rams, hashtag civil rights team.
Yeah.
It's going to be a shirt.
Yeah. How do you feel about all this kneeling stuff? Do you care? Do you weigh in?
You know, I mean, I'm as not a sports fan.
Yeah.
I'm like, at first I'm like, okay, whatever. Then I was even more like, whatever.
Yeah.
When I found out the players weren't even on the field.
They're not
during
supposed
the
to be
national
for
anthem
the, for the, in the last
since like 2007.
Correct.
So there's all this uproar over something that's 11 years old.
If you're,
do you know what I mean?
If you have an issue with it, you're just vehemently refusing to look into the issue. You're just taking hearsay, and all it takes is a Google search.
That's all it takes.
It's all it takes to go like, oh, it's not about being anti-American.
No.
It's about this issue that should matter to all people. And so it's just like the people who are turning out and going like, I don't like the, like when the Kaepernick thing came out, I went online, I bought these shoes.
You know, Nike.
I mean? Gave a little Nike support. Because it's just like, it's just a little, it's just that refusal to.
Where do they put the batteries?
To give it, hello, you know what I mean? I call them my first down shoes. Because the first down flag
the
is
little, on. Yeah. Well, also, aren't those little things, those little foam squares?
Cones. Traffic cones?
Yeah,
I call them my traffic cones shoes.
Yeah.
They're my Toy Story Pixar traffic cone sneaking into Pizza Planet shoes. That's the full name.
Throwing out for Bing Bong.
But I just, Bing Bong. Oh, man. I'll come back to my Richard Kind story, which is great. But it just like, if you are just choosing to be angry without giving a second to hear the why, then like, then that's either like, you know, fear. I think it comes out of fear of learning something new or laziness. Both are, which are kind of weak qualities, and football's for the strong. So good riddance.
That's why they wear pads, huh?
That's where they
really
wear pads. Yeah,
real
they're
strong.
Because they're
real strong.
Strong
there.
Yeah.
No, I agree completely.
Yeah.
It's the combated with the internet and the ease of outrage and everything.
The noise manipulation.
The noise manipulation. The easy to recruit an army of being mad at something because you want to feel a part of something, so you're going to be angry at something without even researching the full. You know, we're in a day and age where people will read a headline that has nothing to do. I can't count how many times I see headlines where they're trying to instigate something. If you read the article, it's like a few weeks ago, Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan, and he took a hit of a spliff, and all the headlines were Tesla stock drops because Elon Musk takes us, and three executives leave Tesla because Elon Musk was on a thing. Come to find out, if you read the article, one of the executives was already on leave for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was known that she was leaving.
Yeah.
Another executive already put in their 2 weeks, 3 days prior.
Right.
So it's like they already knew this, but it's this headline manipulation to get this outrage.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing, and it comes back down to this, you know, the kneeling in football and all that. It's like they weren't even on the field. Like, just read.
They're not supposed to be there. There's no tradition.
It's not like they've been on the field for 50 years.
Richard Kind and I were at an after party of a premiere of my wife's movie, and it was right before Inside Out came out, and he was furious. He's like, I'm so mad.
What movie?
Inside Out.
Premiere
of Results, a film that she did with Guy Pearce and Kevin Corrigan.
Okay. Billy's brother.
Billy's brother. Did I say his name right?
Kevin Corrigan? Corrigan.
It is, right?
I don't know.
The actor from, he's in like a bunch of,
I believe
now
you.
I
don't think Billy Corrigan's got a brother.
Billy doesn't have a brother. Billy sometimes doesn't have a band. But they just came back, right?
Did you go see them?
No, did you?
No, but they played like 4 days, and by the fifth day, I was like, are we done Instagramming this, guys?
Yeah. I wish I'd seen
I should have gone, because it's like,
that was a big
same with like Dave Matthews played, you know, recently, and he hasn't played the bowl in, you know, forever.
Right.
And I never hear of these things. It's like the Foo Fighters will play. It's like,
I know.
How did I not know the Foo Fighters were playing?
I know. I directed a movie in Vancouver.
Yeah, you did. We'll talk about that.
Okay, great. And the day I arrived, The Cure was playing in the park, and I was like, I want to see that. And I was like, nope, this is my first film I'm directing. I need to do the work, and I need to get rest. And then the next day I showed up and all of my production heads and crew were like, we went and saw The Cure, why didn't you go? And I really, it's the worst thing that's ever
being
happened.
Being an adult is a hard decision. Richard Kind.
Richard Kind.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm so mad at Pixar. I'm in this new movie they're doing, it's great, and I play the best part, and they won't let me do any press about it because they want it to be a surprise. So everybody else gets to go to Europe and eat all these delicious meals, and I can't do, I have to sit here and just stay silent, and I hate them. And he was right, though. Bing Bong is the best. Take it to the moon for me. Ugh.
That, his character, was such a surprise.
Yes.
And I'm glad he didn't do press.
Yes.
And it was like, it was a bummer. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really, it really, as speaking of adulting sucks, being an adult sucks, as it kind of does.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
He disappears
especially
forever.
Pixar movies.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the truest fear of mortality that's ever been installed into a children's animated film.
Right.
Maybe the most since Bambi's mother dying.
Do you think there's something to do with that and connecting back with childhood, being, especially like as adults now, we're in an age of arrested development.
Yeah.
We're in an age of, we're in an age of, you know, we can have anything we want now. We can watch anything we want now. We can be perpetually children.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in the 1940s, our great grandparents, you know, they weren't watching movies. They were working in a coal mine or they were, you know, they had calluses. They were, you know, at the Grand Poobah Mason Club because they're, you know, wanted to smoke a cigar with the boys and relax for a minute. And here we are, you know, going to see movies.
Yeah.
And being, you know, being sad about childhood.
Uh-huh.
You know, nostalgia is always the first form of depression, I've said. But it's like, it goes back to, do you think, this is a long segue to talk about D&D.
I can't wait.
But do you think that's like...
You're saying...
Do you know what I mean? Like, do you think there's something about not wanting to grow up and not be old that we reach out to play things or do things that we used to do as children? Or like things that we used to do as children, like lobby and fight to be in a Ninja Turtles movie?
I definitely think there's something to in our generation, in America at this time, and technology. Obviously, there's still atrocities and conflict occurring around the globe right now. Our civilization, our society, specific to this country, this time, this city, is so absent of genuine conflict that yes, we are afforded to long and protect and cultivate and create cushions of happiness.
Yeah.
You know, is it real? Is it not? I think I think anything that you feel, you know, if you're talking about like sort of virtual emotionality, meaning facing death, fighting in World War II, and being drafted in the army and storming Normandy Beach and watching people die around you is an experience that I hope I never have, that I, even having seen Saving Private Ryan or Dunkirk, can't really fathom, really understand the fear and the repercussions of experiencing that, of living through that, and then coming back to a fairly happy, mundane existence.
Yeah.
So my point being of like creating, like the fact that Bing Bong is the most tragic thing that we might experience in our life, or some variation therein, we are absolutely spoiled and privileged and lucky.
Yeah.
Ultimately lucky to be living this life. I consider that just for myself. Yeah. I am, and I try to remind myself that as often as possible. I have a tattoo that says appreciate. My wife, Kobe, she's spoken about this, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer when she was 25.
Oh, wow.
And we're dating for 3 years at that point. And it was like, what the hell? And she had a cantaloupe-sized ovary on her right ovary. They had to remove that. They removed part of her left and only preserved it because she said, I'd like to have children of my own. Yeah. And we went through the embryo freezing process. You know, like that was the most real experience of my life. That's like real life problems. This person you love, the possibility of them ceasing to exist.
Yeah. It wakes you up real quick.
It wakes you up. The perspective, it gave me great perspective. And it gave me great gratitude. And that's where that comes from. I do my best to live my life balancing of being aware of what's happening, being aware of the real strife, real struggles occurring globally, be it through war, atrocities, religious conflict, or environmental, which I think on a bigger picture, on a macro picture, is a bigger threat ultimately, long term. Being conscious, participating, helping fight and combat that where I can, while also, and this might be letting myself off the hook, maybe, and I'll accept that, but honoring the incredible privilege of being alive, being male, being white, being born in California, being in the entertainment industry, having talent, and then a plethora of good fortune and circumstance to be successful. I try to be conscious of that and not feel any sort of entitlement to it.
Yeah.
This is what I am, this is my experience, this is me, but I try to honor it for me in creating as much joy and happiness for me and my loved ones and any fans that I may have, because not everybody is presented that opportunity.
Yeah. I it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
It's one of those things as...
So that's why I play Dungeons and Dragons.
I was going to say that's very chaotic good of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm aligned chaotic good. Yeah.
Roll these dice.
And yes, I beg to be in the live action Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, no,
movie.
I know. That's why I'm glad you're here.
I grabbed it.
Yeah. I read that and I'm like, as you should. Because it's one of those things as once you have any notoriety.
Yes.
Like Burt Reynolds, he was,
he called them sluts, right?
This is the thing. Every appearance I do, I'm
taking
like,
headlines out of context. Taryn thinks all humans suck, and then
Burt Reynolds calls
B.
Arthur a slut.
Watch the whole interview.
Damn, that's so funny, but it's true. He was offered James Bond, and he's like, American can never play James Bond. And I read this, and I'm like, smart.
Yeah.
But that's not what you tell people. If you're offered James Bond, it's like if somebody asks if you're a god, you say
yes.
And if you have any, to me, like as a nerd, as a child, you know, like if you have the ability to petition to be in a Ninja Turtle movie, you're going to try and do that. I have a buddy who's friends with Tom Cruise, and he's in the new Top Gun movie. And I'm going to figure out how to be a local hire to at least be a barista.
Awesome. Great. Yeah.
I'm going to try my hardest because it's one of those things where it's like.
If you at all believe about balance.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars, my favorite movie of all time.
Of all time.
Being a Jedi, that was my dream for
forever. What did you think of Last Jedi?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I really enjoyed Last Jedi, yeah.
Okay.
And
now off the record.
No, 100%. I see the specific points. I know that there are storylines for me that, don't feel as pivotal. My, one fix, I just wish that Boyega and Tran...
Didn't go to the casino.
No, I don't mind going to the casino because from a production design, I like the kid with the broom hat. I do.
You like this?
I like Ewoks because it brings in a new generation.
Sure.
I like Jar Jar because the 13 times I saw Phantom Menace in the theater, anybody under 10 loved him.
I'm going to Price is Right you and say I saw it 14 times.
Did I say 14?
13 times.
13, exactly,
I like the Ewoks too.
So I like that. What I wish is Boyega and Tran's characters, when they were Captain Phasma, I wish they did something to disrupt, to allow for the caravan to make it to the Red Salt Planet. Yeah. That's all. Because then it's justified. But ultimately, they don't achieve anything. That's my biggest critique.
Yeah.
That being said, I love it. I love the fitting send-off. I love the boldness of it.
Yeah.
That's my absolute favorite thing. It's like, there's like basically a prank call in the first 5 minutes. And it's like, whoa.
Three hours after they just blew up their laser planet.
Right. Is that the time frame?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Very, very, very soon after.
And
it's like if I burned your house down, then you were driving in an Uber and I was prank calling you and I was standing in front of your car and you didn't tell the Uber driver to run me over.
Right. More than any movie since Empire, I saw bold strokes, bold, like big swings to attempt something good. And I think more than half of them worked.
Okay. I'm curious about, you were talking about fate or if you believe Star Wars
balance. In terms of balance, if you believe in balance and you believe in the like these families being separated at the border and a mother being reunited with her 5-year-old after 3 months who doesn't recognize it, like there's heartbreak happening and always has and always will, every second, every moment of the day. The balance of that, and again, this may be to alleviate myself of guilt or whatever, and I'll accept that. But I do think, but it is also a conscious thing for me because I have like meditated on it, reflected on it, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The balance to that is I was inspired by Ninja Turtles every day before school. I watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've seen every episode. I wanted to be Raphael. I had all the toys. It inspired storytelling for me, which has been a big part of my career, and role play, and good versus evil, and it, you know, shaped a moral compass. And I have the opportunity now and the access to create a wish fulfillment, a dream of being present in a cinematic version, live action, you know, the first 1989 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, top 10 film of all time.
I saw that in the theater.
At least
and
times.
It was great.
At least 3 times. That to me creates balance of life.
Damn, it's chaotic.
Damn! I lost a sigh.
Then it is gone.
But I can get it back. I can get it back.
I still, for some reason, it's one of those quotes that you say for out of nowhere, but it's like cricket. Yeah. You got to know what a crocket is if you want to play cricket.
Yeah, crumpet. Yeah,
crumpet.
Whatever. Me and Mikey
it's not
Day.
Not my favorite movie.
Me and Mikey Day feel like if really challenged, like with 2 viewings, could quote it all the way through, start to finish, and have a dream. You know, they do those staged readings of like famous movies. He and I play all the characters, and we have somebody incredibly famous read stage directly.
You should do that at like Largo or something
right,
like that.
Right, exactly.
That's a great idea.
It'd be really
fun. I could do that with Batman, with 89 Batman or Ghostbusters.
The reason I want to be an actor is that Batman.
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Man.
He hosted. Did you see when he hosted?
I did.
That monologue, I was one of the things I'm most proud of my time in SNL.
He was like, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's showtime.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's one of the, like, he's where I get my last name from. Dangerously.
Oh, Johnny Dangerously.
That
makes sense, of course.
I figured if you're going to go by Razzle, you might as well have a dumb last name to go with that.
Are both chosen names?
Chosen names, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My real name's Eric.
Okay.
I used to be in a punk band in Michigan, and I went by Johnny Quest. I had bleached hair.
Right.
Then that fizzled out, and then I was going to start like a normal rock band.
Yeah.
And there's something about Razzle. That's like smoke and mirrors entertainment. And like Bill Murray and like Stripes, Razzle Dazzle. It's got that.
Yeah. Great.
It's got the smoke and mirrors.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah. Rinse and repeat. You know, it's got that, you know, the flow, as they say.
I feel like it was a now and later flavor maybe too, like Razzle Raspberry.
There's a candy.
There's a candy.
First it's a candy, then it's a gum.
Right.
That's this catchphrase.
I love it. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's kind of, but Michael Keaton is, he is one of my, like I'm glad he's had a comeback. I'm glad he's had a resurgence.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you spend any time in the industry, you understand the intricacies and the complexity of like a comeback, like he went away or what? And I was like, I think he was most likely in control of his life for the most part. But yes, in terms of the work he's doing and the notoriety which is getting is a comeback. Him and Birdman when he like fakes out Ed Norton.
Yeah,
and he's like, when I had my uncle, and he's like, I can do it too.
He's got the Michael Keaton teeth. He's got the Michael Keaton teeth. It's like
so good,
so good. Killing Gunther, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, sir.
I asked this once to a couple guests before. Who would win in a fight? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dutch, or
Dutch.
Rambo, given Dutch. Them both having the same amount of prep time in the woods?
Dutch? Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because Rambo is a Vietnam vet with PTSD, and Dutch is an elite commando who can take on extraterrestrials.
Okay. All right. Just curious. I'm curious. It's a field. What was it like working with him?
True.
Because again,
privilege, joy. Yep.
As a nerd.
Yep.
You got Terminators. You got Predators. You got
Conan.
You know, Conan.
Yep.
True Lies.
Commando is maybe more than the Rambo pull in the knife.
Yeah.
The Commando shopping at the gun store, finding the fake panel for like the illegal weapons, gearing up, all the stuff, is like my favorite action get ready sequence of all time. Just because it's cool, but then also because it's hilarious because he's immediately arrested and doesn't get to use any of that stuff. But then it all kind of comes back when he goes to the island, to Santa...
Valverde, right?
Valverde, which has existed throughout the...
It's like the fake country, like one of the bad guys from Die Hard's from Valverde.
Yes, exactly.
Predator supposedly took place in Valverde.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Shane Black? Is that who it is that claims the shared universe?
No, it was... I just looked this up last night.
Yeah.
One of the producers, De La Rentis or somebody, whoever produced Commando.
Great, great, great.
It was in a few of his. And then
love it.
Ancillary, you know, fans, like you're, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People like us, once we finally get to make movies.
Latch on.
We latch on and.
Love it.
You gotta, you know, it's that part of the childhood.
Yeah. Killing Gunther, which was originally entitled Why We're Killing Gunther, was just a sort of a love letter. I wrote it as like, what's a wish fulfillment thing that I'd love to do with my friends that I would try to do super cheap, that would be mockumentary Christopher Guest / Cloverfield found footage kind of thing, but in the world of a Luc Besson or John McTiernan kind of world.
John McTiernan.
And always wrote Gunther to be this boogeyman shadow figure and was going to be like a fun third act reveal cameo by the most famous person we could get. And we got the most famous person we could get. And it was incredible. It was exhilarating. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, we FaceTimed 3 times before he invited me to his house to talk about it. And it's just a professional, just a legitimate movie star. Exactly what you'd expect a world champion bodybuilder action movie star retired governor to be.
Yeah. Immigrant governor.
American dream.
I mean, that's
who more than him has lived the American dream?
Like, that's as inspirational as you can get, you know? Like, the work ethic, the drive, and to be kind and to understand, you know,
giving
the
his
advocacy
time.
He's been doing and things like that, or like...
Any arm's length is all controlled by him and not in a way that there's a false veneer. I do feel he's being authentic at all times, was kind to everyone, was magnanimous at all times, but more than that, what's most impressive, prepared.
Yeah.
Came with his own alts and different jokes for sequence and talk. Just a professional, just a pro, just disciplined and dedicated, and intimidating, just intimidating, but only because of my own baggage, right? Yeah. I think with anybody, of just like the quintessential hero action star of, I think, all time, being in my dumb little comedians getting to be assassins, you know, loosely scripted movie.
He was one of the best action heroes of all time.
Yeah.
TC surpassed that now with Mission Impossible 6. But
yeah, I don't disagree.
But Arnold,
TC's a movie star. You know, like TC is an ultimate movie star where you have your Maguires and your Magnolias.
All right.
Where Arnold is your I'll take them all by myself.
I will agree with that. I will go with that.
Because Tom still needs Simon Pegg, he still needs the team. But that helicopter sequence, holy cow. Just
like amazing. You knew he was going to
sound. Just amazing. Like, just incredible.
Let's talk about Night School.
Great.
Because that's why you're here.
Yes.
How was that? What was that like?
A blast. We shot in Atlanta.
How great is Tiffany and Kevin Hart?
Tiffany is one of the most impressive human beings I've ever met. Not to take anything away from Kevin, who is kind and, again, ambitious, but just... there is no separation. Like, he would go out of his way to come hang with the cast in between takes, and it's just a funny dude. He hosted SNL twice when I was there, had a great time. He's a comedian and a fan of comedy, and we have a lot of shared interest in that. So I get along with him great and really enjoyed working with him. Tiffany is just such an impressive human being in terms of her self-strength, of knowing who she is, and her just inherent talent and skill for comedy. Just how she just is funny.
She just knows her character.
But isn't it's not exhausting in an exhausting way.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm just
on.
I was unbelievably impressed with her.
And you play the principal in that movie.
I play sort of the nemesis of
Kevin's
character.
Did you get to channel any of the nostalgic principals like Rooney or who the guy from Breakfast Club? Was that an intriguing thing? Or were you just like, oh, this cast is awesome, I want to do this movie?
It was sort of scripted, and then I kind of latched onto that he is a guy who is most inspired by Morgan Freeman's character in Stand By Me.
Yeah.
They call me Batman, you know. But he looks like me.
Morgan Freeman? Wait, hold on. I'm doing a lot of math here, because Morgan Freeman wasn't in Stand By Me.
Lean On Me.
Okay.
Stand By Me is about
a dead body.
Yeah. That's very different.
Morgan Freeman.
Should have been you. Sorry.
Morgan Freeman was a dead body. That was his first movie.
That was him.
It's like Kevin Costner and what was it, Night Shift?
He
can do anything.
So Lean On Me, and it was takeoff. That's who he aspired to be. But in terms of, the uptight, stiff white dude, there's definitely like allusions to the forefathers who have come before me. But it's just really fun. Like, the cast is awesome.
It looks great.
The cast is Marilyn Rice Cubb, Rob Riggle, Al Madrigal, Ann Winters, Romney Malco, and we just enjoyed each other. Yeah. We just enjoyed being around each other. And Malcolm D. Lee, the director, and Will Packer, the producer, are just good hosts and good people of authority. You just trust them, and you know you'll be taken care of. And we just had so much fun making it, and that comes out in the movie, the finished product.
Single Parents looks funny as well.
Thank you. It's really funny and it's really sweet. It's very heartfelt. And I again, like the people I'm working with, Leighton Meester is just a dream to work with, and Brad Garrett is like,
both are great
Jake Choi,
ensembles.
Kimri Lewis, who I mentioned, who loves B. Arthur, and you will always be my sisters.
I mean, it's
always.
I mean, you can watch that clip, and it's borderline Bing Bong. Like, you kind of watch it.
It
and
is.
You feel
it's
it.
Solid. Take her to the
Because it was,
me.
I mean, it was arguably, I mean, the biggest sitcom at when it was on.
Yes.
And she just decided to quit.
Seemingly like one of the more successful finales of a sitcom.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. It was up there with Cheers and MASH.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is bananas when you think of how many viewers that had.
Yeah.
You were also in Hamilton recently.
Yeah.
Did you know, here's something I learned recently. The wigs were, that was, that fad caught on because of syphilis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I believe that.
Because
that
one of the things was like sores and loss of hair.
Yeah.
So then they started manufacturing wigs. Then one of the kings, at a young age, his was starting to go. So then he bought a fancy white one and he got a bunch. And then all of a sudden, other kings started to get them and wear them. And then they got popular.
That's
and all
why
that.
I contracted it for the role.
How was that? Like, did you, I mean, obviously you go from SNL to that. So you're familiar with live stage and things like that.
Yeah.
But to be in such a zeitgeist of a,
an
of
honor.
A thing.
Just an honor. Just start to finish warm. People doing something that means so much to people and everybody taking pride in that.
Yeah.
A very, very healing energy. I don't think it'll be shocking to say there's a cynicism and negativity in the environment at SNL at times.
Yeah. I buy it 100%.
Right. And with great joy and exhilaration and wish fulfillment and fantasy. Yeah. But a good amount of negativity, and Hamilton was completely absent of that.
Yeah. I have a gift for you.
Oh!
I know you're a parent.
Yes.
And I have some nieces and nephews, so I wrote a book.
Fantastic.
It's called Don't Be a Dick.
Awesome.
That's for you.
Fantastic.
And
thank you, sir. I got you a mic pack.
Ooh, I love
Here
it.
You
Thank
go.
You.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's a Zenith.
It's got a red dot on there. Sennheiser.
Like Sennheiser.
Question.
Yes.
Favor.
Yes.
One of our crew here knows how to play piano.
Amazing.
And as a way to end the show.
Great.
Since the audience will be back watching the show.
Let's do it.
Can we get you to sing some of
Be
your Hamilton.
Great.
Love it. Thank you so
Let's
much.
Let's do it. Yeah, my
Let's
pleasure.
Do it.
Thanks, dude. All right, where's the piano?
The piano's right here.
It's back in here. Oh, look at that. This is exciting. Okay. Been a minute. Me.
Do you need the words? I can pull them up.
I think I'll... Let's challenge me.
Okay.
Don't blow it.
You say the price of my love's not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry in your tea, which you hurl in the sea when you see me go by. Why so sad? Remember, we made an arrangement when you went away. Now you're making me mad. Remember, despite our estrangement, I'm your man. You'll be back soon, you'll see. You'll remember you belong to me. You'll be back, time will tell. You'll remember that I served you well. Oceans rise, empires fall. We have seen each other through it all. And when push comes to shove, I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. Da 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 da. Da 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 ya da 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 ya da 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 ya da 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 da. You say our love is draining and you can't go on. You'll be the one complaining when I am gone. And no, don't change the subject. Cause you're my favorite subject, my sweet submissive subject. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you'll be back like before. I will fight the fight and win the war for your love, for your praise. And I'll love you till my dying days. When you're gone, I'll go mad. So don't throw away this thing we had. Cause when push comes to shove, I will kill your friends and family to remind you of my love. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Everybody, da 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 da.
School and Theaters, September 28th, Single Parents debuting on Wednesdays, ABC, starting tomorrow. Taron Killam, thank you so much for doing
thank
the
you,
show.
Buddy.
Very
thank
nice
so
meeting
much,
you.
A pleasure.
Everybody support him and his endeavors. Thank you very much. The most Thanks, notable... the most notable Rams fan around.